to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away.
Good morning, Columbia Grove. Welcome. My name is Pastor Paul. I'm the interim associate pastor here. Whether you're worshiping with us online, here in the worship center, in your RV, on your boat, on your couch, in your jammies, We just want to say thank you for worshiping with us today. If you are worshiping with us online, I'd encourage you to just write a little note and post it on Facebook to where we can put those up on the screen here in the worship center and just share notes of encouragement along the way. We have a prayer team. You'll see the prayer team phone numbers in the service notes, and we encourage you to call them, text them if you have something going on in your life that you would like to share with people. Thank you for your faithful giving during this crazy time that we're living in. If you're online, again, just look in the service notes. You'll see a place for online giving. And if you're in the worship center, there's a basket in the center of the room. A little bit later in the service, we will be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. So if you're worshiping at home or your boat, or your RV, I encourage you to get some bread or some crackers and some juice so you can participate in that as well in a little bit later on in the service. We are thankful that you are here. We are glad you're worshiping with us. Thank you. Love like Jesus. God bless. Let me turn this back over now to Andrew.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Online church, in-person church, like a big shout out. Yay! There we go. Hey, so even though we got a few people in a weird service in the room and a whole bunch of people online, we're one church. So let's greet one another a little bit. Okay. Can we put a few of the greetings up on the screen? All right. So Jean and Mary Ann, very nice. I like what you do with your hair, Mary Ann. That's very nice. Okay. And Karen, good to see you. And Evelyn, good to see you. Dawn, good to see you. Let's have a few more. Well, but there we go, from Ron and Debbie Garrow. So all over the place, we are worshiping as one church. So whether, like I said, you're here in the room, whether you're at home, whether you're in your RV, thank you, thank you, thank you for making worship a priority. This is a weird time, right? Amen? Which means we need Jesus all the more, and we need each other all the more. And this is a way that we can do that. This is a way that we can be in this together. So I'm going to turn it over to the worship team in just a moment. But as we do, we're going to be singing a song of praise that I'd like you to, especially whether, and you can do this whether you're in the room or wherever, be ready to leave a comment along this phrase. God, you are stronger than blank. So you're just going to fill in the blank. So you can say, you are stronger than my fears. You are stronger than the economy. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or VeggieTales fans. Okay. However it is, but fill in the blank. And then after the song, we're going to have a moment where we're going to have some of those comments come up on the screen so we can just be remembering that God is stronger than all of those things. So I'm going to lead us into a time of prayer, and that let's just settle our hearts. You know, we've heard a worship song. We've started to gather. I'm watching the comment streams and seeing folks from all over the place joining in on the live stream. But let's just ask God by the Holy Spirit to knit us together as one. Let's ask Him to settle our hearts. Let's ask Him to help our minds to be focused on Him, to remember that He really is bigger than whatever we face. However bad it was this past week, God can handle it. However much fear you're feeling about what's coming up in the next weeks or months, God can handle it. Lord, thank You that as we turn our hearts to You, we find the kind of strength and peace and joy that we long for, and that You provide in abundance. So Lord, may this time, as strange as it is, to be, you know, one church in, well, little groupings of people in the room, and one church distributed over miles of distance. I see people from other states and other countries even signing in right now. But Lord, would you just meet us in this place, in this time that we set aside for You? Would You help us to pay attention to what You're doing? Let our praises just flow out of your Spirit's work in our midst. So we give ourselves to You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So Eric and the team, they're going to lead us in the anthem. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. So if you're in the room, you don't have to do this. If for whatever reason you can't, but I would invite you to stand. Let's do a bit of singing together. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. You can do this at home. You could be standing in your living room and, You could be just singing this out, but wherever you are and however you position yourself, let this be a time where we just give our attention, our full attention to the Lord. Remember how God is stronger than. So let's see some. Let's see what some of what we're saying. God is stronger than what we got out there up there. Let's put a few comments up. And you can have a seat in the room, but let's hear some comments in the room. God is stronger than what? Than me. God is stronger than all the hate in the world, says Laura. That's right. That's right. Sporting red car, too. That's nice. God is stronger than what? Yep. Try that again.
All sin.
God is stronger than my worries. I missed one on there, but God... Let's hear some more. God is stronger than coronavirus. Can I get an amen? That's right. God, you are stronger than the giants in my life, says Barb McArdle. God is stronger than my doubt, says John Brandt. That's true. That's true. God is stronger than what's happening in the world right now. And God brings us together as community. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are stronger than all these things, that we can trust you, that our fear doesn't stand a chance when we stand in your love. And God, we stand in your love together today. And now, Lord, as we join together in congregational prayer, thank you, God, for Aaron for leading it. Just thanks for the Christian dad that he is, and even just the way that he's leading his family and helping other families be stronger during this time. But God, would you just knit us together as we focus our attention on you? So hear our prayers, Lord, as we lift them up.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please join me in prayer? Lord, I just thank you for your amazing creation around us. Last week, sitting outside, looking at the hills and the mountains, and hearing nothing but the wind blowing through the trees, Lord, that sense of peace is just wonderful. And I just pray that each and every one of us has an opportunity to find those moments in our lives where we can just appreciate your creation and have that time to reflect and to be at peace. Lord, the world around us right now just seems so tumultuous at times, like a river rushing by. And Lord, I am so thankful. We are so thankful that you are that rock that we can hang on to through all of it. Lord, I pray for our leaders, local, state, and national. Pray for the decisions that they're making. I pray for peace and wisdom in those decisions. And Lord, I pray for those who may be suffering around the world, suffering in our own homes. Lord, this is such a difficult time for many. There are those who are hurting, lonely, sick, those who may be struggling with marriage, struggling against addiction, looking for work, and asking for your direction. And we just lift those people up to you, Lord. And Lord, we also pray for the missionaries, the church leaders, and the evangelists. We pray for those like the Gandhi family up in Shaktuluk, and pray for the work that you are doing through them. And Lord, for so many of the others out there who are doing your will and bringing glory to you, Lord. And Lord, I also pray for the house churches, for the family groups, for those that are getting together out there, and just lift them up to you, that you are creating connections and working through them and with them, Lord. And I also lift up those families with small children, you know, with a new and very different type of school starting back up here soon. I pray for the teachers and the administrators. I pray for the parents who are really trying to do the best that they can for their children amidst these difficult circumstances. And Lord, I also pray for those in the church who have certain needs, Lord, that you would just be with those like my father, Bob Floyd, and the medical procedure that he recently underwent and another procedure that he's going to go through again soon for his heart. And I just pray you have your hand on him. And Lord, I also lift up the Davis family, the Halverson family, the Schwark family, and the Belton family, and the Penfold families as they mourn the loss of loved ones. Lord, just hold them close and reveal yourself in those ways that create comfort and peace amidst those difficult circumstances. Lord, finally, I just want to lift up Andrew to you today and just pray that you use him to, you use his words and his message to reach so many. Lord, open our ears and our eyes and our minds and in our hearts so that we can hear the message that he has prepared for us today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. And thanks, Aaron. Just appreciate your heart and I appreciate your friendship. So the year is AD 64, and Nero is the emperor, and he's got a massive problem. There has been a fire in Rome, and so the political elite are no longer thrilled with his leadership. He needs a scapegoat, and he needs it fast, and he finds it in Christians. These weird people from the armpit of the empire. These weird people that the rumor has it, they are engaged in all sorts of funny stuff. They are engaged in incestuous relationships because they call each other brother and sister. Ugh. They are engaged in cannibalism because, didn't you know? Because they do this ritual involving body and blood. They're not, and worst of all, they're not patriotic. They don't say Caesar is Lord like all the good citizens of Rome. Instead, they say what? Jesus is Lord, or Christ is Lord. So they're unpatriotic. These people are problematic. They're even atheists. They don't believe in the hundreds of Roman idols and gods. They only believe in one. It's crazy. And so the rumors start to spread, and there starts to be a latent bias against Christianity. And Peter, who is very likely in Rome at the time, at least there's one comment in chapter 5 that would have us believe that it's likely that he was even close to Rome or in Rome as he is writing this letter. He sees the storm that is coming to the church, and he wants to prepare them to be aware that things will likely get harder before they get easier. And I don't know about you, but when I'm reading 1 Peter, and we've been in 1 Peter throughout the month of August, we've got I've got a Thursday night Bible study Zoom group. Many of you are online right now, guys. I love you. It is incredible, like, as you start to open up God's word together to go, are you sure, Lord, this is 2,000 years old? Because this sounds like this could have been written last week. Because we are in a season where our faith is being tested. Do you know that, church? Things are difficult, and there is decent reason to believe things will get more difficult before they get easier. And so it's important that we get our hearts and our minds grounded in God's word so that we are ready, so that we are prepared. Jesus never said it would be easy. He said, take heart. In this world, you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. And so we want to prepare our hearts by anchoring our hearts in God's word. And today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. But before we turn there, see, we are in this series that's called Facing Outward. And there's a line that we're trying to focus on here. And it says that crisis turns us inward, but God turns us outward. So let Jesus put margin in your life so you have something to give others. So this is a series that is, on some level, it is about self-care. I mean, it's about making certain that you are grounded in God's word first, that you are anchoring your heart in Jesus, that you are abiding in Jesus. That's why I encourage you to be in God's word daily. You can join me in 1 Peter. If you're on the Bible app, we can send comments back and forth. You'll see it. Or, you know, wherever you are in God's word, but you're in God's word daily, so you're anchoring your heart so that Jesus can fill you up so you have something to give others. So it is a series about self that focuses on self-care, but it's not self-care for self-centered reasons. It's self-care for the sake of service. Self-care for the sake of service. And so as we are in 1 Peter chapter 2, and today we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 12. We're going to see that same trend of get your heart anchored in who you are. You get filled up with Jesus. And then it starts to, in chapters 2, starts to turn our attention to one of the arenas in life where our faith gets lived out. Now, last week we looked at the first place in life where faith gets lived out, which is in your immediate family. There are people that you are spending time with on a regular basis. Your immediate biological family, or you have friends that are close enough that they could be family. I mean, that immediate inner circle, that's the first place that faith gets lived out, which is one of the reasons why during this difficult time where our circles are getting smaller, you know, we've got to have less social contact just from a health perspective sake. I mean, that also could be an opportunity for us just to deepen those closest relationships. But that's the first place that faith gets lived out. Now we're going to look at the second kind of ring out from there. And that's the people that you see every day. But let's pick things up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And today we're going to be in the New Living Translation. I'm often an NIV guy, but for no particular reason. But I do like how the New Living Translation puts it, just because it's really plain spoken. And there's some pieces of this, how it puts it today, that's like, okay, I get it. Thanks for making it really clear. So this is right after it's talking about how there's the world around us is likely to reject God and likely to reject Jesus. And so Peter writes this to the early church. He says, but you are not like that. For you are a chosen, what's the word? You're a chosen people. For whatever reason, God has seen fit that you have received the message of the gospel. And there's no accident behind that. And so you are royal, what's the next word? Priests. You're royal priests. You could wear the little collar if you like. But you're a priest either way. Do you know what priests did in the Old Testament? Other than all the weird animal stuff, which, you know, some of you are a barbecuing people, so you're basically doing it anyways. But what priests represented in the Old Testament, these are people that were mediators between God and people. You are the closest version of Jesus that most people will see. You're Jesus with skin on. You and we collectively, we are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. So we need to remember who we are. We've been chosen. We've been made Christ's ambassadors, royal priests. We're a holy nation that being a follower of Jesus is our first and foremost nationality. This will get important. We are God's very own possession. As a result, because you're all those things, because all those things are true for you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are all these things. Because of this, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Let's continue on. And then, so Peter starts to quote from the book of Hosea. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Past tense, you catch that? God has already been merciful to you. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, your sins have already been forgiven. Your eternity with him in heaven has already been secured. There's nothing you can do to take that away. Isn't that great? You have received mercy, and you do receive mercy, and you will receive mercy. So, dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, that comes back to this, remember your holy nation thing, temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. So the few ways I want to talk about that today before we move on to kind of the other really big idea of the morning. The first is this. We need to, as we look to be followers of Jesus, we have got to remember who we are, and we've got to remember whose we are. Who are you? You're chosen. Who are you? You're a royal priesthood. Who are you? You're part of a holy nation. You're God's own possession. That's who you are. So whose are you? Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? Jesus. That's the one who saved us. That's the one who purchased us with his blood. That's whose we are. So as we look to engage in the world around us, whether that's starting with our families or as we move to the circles past that point, we've got to let Jesus meet us. We've got to let Jesus fill us with his love, right? We've got to remember who we are. We've got to anchor our hearts. This is the first part of the battle, and we are in a battle. You've got to anchor your heart. I've got to anchor my heart. Let him fill us with his love, because the strength that you have in your life, whatever you have to give to the people around you, it ultimately comes from Jesus. Anything in your life that is worth giving, whether that is your love, whether that's your empathy, whether that's your innovation and creativity and leadership and all of the things that you have, every resource that you have in life ultimately comes from Jesus. He is the giver of every good gift. All of it comes from him. You are his, which means that if you're a Christian, that Jesus comes first and everything else follows. So I just want to unpack that a little bit, because this gets really, really important. Now, this is kind of foundational stuff, but see, in the order of priorities in your life, God needs to be at the top. Because if you are following Jesus first, you're turning to him for strength and hope and peace and purpose and satisfaction and happiness, then he can equip you to be a good spouse if you're blessed to be married. You can receive it from Jesus, you can pour it into your marriage. You can receive it from Jesus so you can pour it into your kids if you have kids or grandkids. That way you don't mess things up. And you've seen this, and we've all done this, where we're just got so wrapped around either it's our significant other or we get so wrapped around our kids, we functionally make them our God. And it crushes them and it hurts us. Jesus comes first. Everything else follows. Do you realize that means that Jesus is actually more important than America? I'm going to push some buttons here today. Do you know why? America, like every human empire, has an expiration date. The Roman Empire fell. The Babylonian Empire fell. The Egyptian Empire fell. The American Empire one day will fall. Now, some days it feels like that's going to happen sooner than others. And I pray it's a long way off. And I know many of you are working like crazy to make certain it doesn't happen. But here's the deal. One day it will. And Jesus' kingdom will never fall, will never fail. Make sure that you don't trade the eternal for the temporary in your hearts. If Jesus comes first, everything else follows. You mean Jesus is more important than your political party? Jesus is more important than your personal preferences. If Jesus comes first, everything else follows. If we focus on Jesus first, then he also equips us to engage appropriately in all of the other arenas of life that follow, whether that's marriage or whether that's parenting, whether that's political engagement, whether that's in your job. God really is that big. Grace really is that powerful. But Jesus comes first, and everything else follows. And so we take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. This is how this starts to apply. So Peter writes, "So be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, which at the time they're going to. I mean, there's all these rumors going around about Christianity. There is a latent bias against being a Christian. It's not just about being convinced of the resurrection and of Jesus and his love and what he did and his teachings. The early church at this point in history, they were dealing with, if you become a Christian, you might be thrown to the lions. If you become a Christian, people are immediately going to believe all sorts of horrible things about you. Does some of that start to sound familiar? Now, I realize you haven't, here in the United States, you know, we're not getting thrown to the lions, but there are some misunderstandings about Christianity that are out there. You start to label yourself as a Christ follower, there's a number of assumptions that start to get made about your life, right? So even if they accuse you of doing wrong, even if there is this latent bias against Christianity, when they take a closer look at your life, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Your lifestyle can overcome those biases. But let's just go back to that first phrase because I want to spend some time with that. So it says, be careful, be careful. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Be careful, be careful. Because, you know, there are people that you interact with every day. So maybe you're in a neighborhood and you've got, like, literal neighbors around you. And our neighborhood, yeah, we've got some amazing neighbors. Some of you might even be watching right now. So, hey, Navarro's, hi there, if you're there. Anyways, but we've got neighbors. They happen to be believing neighbors, which is really cool. But we've got people in our lives that are watching. That might be, maybe you're in a more rural area. Maybe your neighbors are just some of the people you interact with on a regular, like the UPS guy, the postal service worker. But there are people that you see and you interact with on a regular basis, and they're watching, and they're watching. Our unbelieving neighbors are watching to see if there is something in us worth believing in. That's why we need to be careful how we live. If the primary things that we get known for as a church are issues that are essentially self-serving, how does that make us any different from the rest of the world? If the primary ways when Christians show up on social media, when Christians are speaking in public forums, if the primary way that we get known is essentially by just stuff that only helps us and doesn't help anybody else, what impact does that have on our unbelieving neighbors? You know, I wonder sometimes, you know, if we're not doing at times more harm than good, if the things that we are talking about is like all of our rights as a church, and why Walmart this and Walmart can do that, but we can't do this. Now those concerns are real. Let's be honest about that. And those concerns about rights and freedom of religion, those are honest. But if those are the main things that we're heard for, then the watching world, I think they're going to look at that and just go, see, they are like everybody else. There's no difference among Christians. They're just interested in their own causes and their own things, just like everybody else. But you know, church, when the church is healthy, when we're at our best, the church gets known, not just for the things that serve ourselves, but the ways that we can serve the world. But before we turn the corner to that one, I'm going to get just a little bit spicier with a phrase here, because and I'd love to interact with this one a little bit because I know I'm pushing you. But here's a phrase. See, the more we whine, the fewer we'll win. That's one of the challenges of this season, folks. The more, and this isn't so much about saying, hey, I'm having a tough day, because that's honest. That's honest. We are going through really, really hard things. This is an emotionally trying, difficult time. That's why we need to have honest time in prayer with God. Open up the Psalms. It's like a guidebook for like how to let God have it when you're having a bad day. I mean, you just lay it out to him. You tell him off. You tell him what is on your heart. And that's why we need close friends that we can be talking to, that we can vent to safely. So I'm not talking about being emotionally dishonest and pretending that everything in life is just hunky-dory and peachy and everything is cool. It's not. But we've got to be so careful about what we advocate for and how we use our voice, how we exercise our influence and power, because we have it. We have it. So use your freedoms to advocate for those who don't have freedoms. Use your voice to advocate for those who don't have a voice. When the church is at its best, we are known for what we are for and who we are for. Amen? That's why as a church, we speak out for the unborn. That's why as a church, we speak out and we thank our first responders. That's why as a church, where there are places of racial bias and injustice, we get involved. We do something. We try to make wrong things right. That's why we advocate and care for the poor. That's why we care for young families. That's why we care for the elderly. The church at its best is known by what it is for and who it is for. We use our power. We use our voice for the benefit of others. See, just self-seeking is just, that's the world's way of doing things. That's how the world fights its battles. Win at every cost, my way or the highway. But we don't need to live like that. Why? Because we are different. We are a chosen people. We are a holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a people who belong to God. It's awfully quiet up here. I know I'm pushing some buttons. I'm going to keep going just a little bit, okay? And so as we head into this next season, I want to see at the end of this coronavirus, I'm going to be working hard to make certain we have a whole lot of baptisms and not a lot of funerals. That's the goal. A church that is known for serving the people around it, for building one another up, for supporting each other in an incredibly difficult time, for turning to Jesus in an incredibly difficult time, and a church that seeks to do good in our communities. And so, one last thought before I close, okay? Now, because we're moving into a season, like, you might have started to hear about this, but it's a big election year. Are you aware of this? And so over the next 80 plus days, we are going to be bombarded with messaging. We're going to be pushed really, really hard. And here's the thing, is there are some huge, huge issues out there. And I know you are passionate about it. This is important stuff. Really, really important stuff. And the national issues, they matter. But let's also remember this. On a national level, see, you have a vote and you have a voice. And I hope to God you use it. But also, let's realize this, and I don't know if we can do a little close-up on the camera here. See, on a national level, your vote matters about this much. Use it, because together, all our voices and all our votes, it will make a difference. How we live, how we vote, how we get involved, it matters. On the national level, it matters about this much. But on a local level, you and I and we can make a massive impact. So an idea I want to leave us with as we look at what it means to live carefully among our neighbors is this. Don't let national concerns keep you from making a local difference. We could spend a lot of time glued to our screens. We could spend a lot of time watching cable news. And, I know it's ironic when I'm saying this, and like, you know, here all you folks are on Facebook watching this. But, you know, the more time you spend on Facebook, there's a certain point where, you know, Facebook is a little bit like wine. A glass a day may not hurt you too much. It could be kind of tasty. But, you know, once you're two, three glasses in, you're going to start to see the world funny. Facebook is like that. Be really careful. Be really careful with social media. We can be so wrapped up in all of the big things and all the big problems in the world that we can forget that on a local level, you and I and we can make a massive, massive difference. Thinking about some of the things like our church has been involved in, there's a pregnancy clinic in town called Real Options that they help women when they're facing desperate pregnancy circumstances to make certain they have the resources and support that they get. And most years they do a bottle drive, like a baby bottles, and we fill them up with coins, but there's a coin shortage and we can't pass the bottles around. It's really tough, right? And so this year they're doing it virtually. And there's been hardly any response. But we could do something with that. We could make certain that moms that are in desperate situations have the help that they need, and they have the ability to choose life for their child. We could do that. Our church partners with a ministry called MOPS. So they're doing incredible things. You know, these are mothers of preschoolers, and they're just there to help young moms get the emotional support that they need during a really trying time. Like, I'm a father of two kids. Now they've grown up. They're amazing. But I remember when they were little, and I mean, that was a really fun time. But it can be trying. And we had an incredible support network. So they're looking for mentor moms, just moms who will like in socially distant settings. You know, they'll meet with young moms on a regular basis. And in some cases, the moms are just meeting over Zoom. You don't even have to leave your house, just need to be available. You could do that. Well, if you're a mom or a grandma, we could do that. Our kids are getting ready to return to school this fall, and most of it's going to be online, and that's really tough. There's a number of families that they don't know how to do that, but here's the thing. If you're watching this right now, you figured out online. You figured out how to make your computer work. You figured out how to do comments and chats and social media. You figured out how to do that. You could help a child. You could do that. So we're in conversation with organizations in this valley for what would it be like if we could have some volunteers that were available to help kids out and help families that can't access, you know, the technology that they need. The funds are out there. The stuff is out there. What they're lacking is people. People, we could do that. We could do that. Or even just the more immediate needs of a church family. Like, if we have folks that they're isolated, they're lonely, and I mean, let's face it, you know, this socially distanced, mask-wearing worship service, it's better than nothing, but I know it's weird. Guys, I know it's weird. Which is why the front lines of church in the next months, they're going to be house churches, where people can meet in their backyard, they can meet in their living room. You could watch it Sunday morning, or maybe you could watch something a little bit later in the day, or on a Tuesday night, or a Monday night, or whatever makes sense. But then you talk, and you check in with one another, you serve one another communion. We can be church to one another. Just need to find ways to open up our homes. And now I realize that's going to look different for different people, and in some homes, there's going to be some health needs where it's not. I know this isn't simple. None of this is simple. And I know it's scary having people in your house, because they'll come through your house and they'll discover that, you know, the water in your commode is not always blue. You know, like, it's this scary stuff. But together, we can make a difference. So I urge you, church, I urge us, let's abide in Jesus. Anchor your heart in him. Let him remind you every single day who you are and whose you are and who's in charge of this whole crazy business of life that we are in right now. Love one another deeply from the heart. And then ask God what it means for you in this season, right now, to love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you're watching online right now, and maybe you're, I don't know whether you have an active relationship with Jesus or not. I want you to know that God loves you desperately. And he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that the sins, the mistakes that you and I make wouldn't separate us from him forever. That he wants to live inside you. He wants to empower your life so that your life can make a difference to the people around you. You are not here by accident. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And so if you're feeling distant from God, you could take that first step of faith even right now. Leave a comment in here and one of our online pastors will follow up. We are with you. We are in this together. So church, as we look at what it means to abide in Christ, if we look at what it means to love deeply, as we look at what it means to love our neighbors, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Would you bow your heads with me? Jesus, thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you that because you died on the cross for our sins, and you rose again from the dead, we have received mercy. We have received your kindness. We live in your love. Thank you that the future that we look forward to is an eternity with you. Lord, would you use that awareness of who we are? Would you use that to strengthen us for this trying time? God, we don't want to back away. We don't want to retreat. We don't want to take our bug out bag and head for the hills. God, we want to be engaged in your work in the world. So we ask that you would give us the rest that we need. We ask that you would give us the refueling that we need. We ask that you would give us the strength that we need. And we thank you that in Jesus, you already have. Lord, would you show each one of us what it means to follow you faithfully in this next season? None of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. So show us what it means to love our neighbors. Show us what it means to make a difference in our community. Show us what it means for your church to be known by what we are for and not just what we're against. Lord, may the self-sacrificial love that you poured out on our lives be poured out from our lives to those around us. And that can only happen by your Spirit's work inside of us. So Lord, would you do that? Would you do that? Would you do that in us? Would you do that in me? We thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we move into a time of communion. And this is one of those sacraments of the church that just helps us to be grounded, helps us to remember who we are and whose we are, helps us to find strength. Because as we remember Jesus' body and blood, we remember a Savior who gave himself for us, a Savior who served us first. And so I invite you, whether you're here in the room with these funky little sealed deals, or you're at home, and maybe you're on your own. Maybe you're with your immediate family. I invite you to take out the communion elements. Because Jesus gave his body for you. And Jesus shed his blood for you. Let's remember that together in prayer. God, we thank you that you gave everything. You gave everything so that we wouldn't be separated from you, so that we could know you personally, so that we could have an eternity with you in heaven, so we could have purpose and hope and meaning in our life today, right now. Lord, would you take this time? Would you take these elements and would you use them to strengthen us for the mission ahead? And so, friends, I invite you to serve one another with these words: Christ's body given for you, and Christ's blood shed for you. So whether you're in the room and you might even serve one another, or you're just going to partake on your own, or whether you're on your own, know that you're not alone. Or if you're in a house church right now, and by the way, if you're in a house church, would you take a picture of your house church so that we can post some of those in the upcoming week so people can see how much fun you're actually having? But let's serve one another as we remember what Jesus has done for us. So I invite us together to join in the words of the Lord's Prayer. And if you're in the room, would you stand with me? And if you're at home, would you say these words out loud, even if you're on your own? Even if you're on your own. If you're in a house church right now, let's say them together. If you're worshiping with your family on the couch, speak these words out loud so we can hear them. We can hear each other speak. As we anchor our hearts in our final destination, our hope of heaven, as people of the kingdom of God. So we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So church, thanks for worshiping with us. Have a seat if you're in the room. Thanks for worshiping with us today. We're going to put some questions up on the screen. And I invite you, before you leave, whether you're just here, if you're sitting with somebody, take a few moments and talk. If you're at home with your family, please take a few moments and talk. Let's be church to one another. If you're in a house church, you know what to do. We get to be church for one another. We're going to put some questions up on the screen. Please take 5-10 minutes. Just talk through some of those things. Check in with one another. Pray for one another. We're going to put up the RSVPs also in a few minutes. So if you want to join the worship service in person next week, you can just go online and start to do that as well. But as we close in prayer, as we prepare to go, let's just bow our heads. And let's thank God for the time together. God, we thank you that you allowed us to spend this time together this morning. And Lord, we pray that because of your work in our hearts, because of your word in our lives, God, we pray that we would go from this place stronger than we came. Lord, help us to not fall for the tricks of our culture, but help us to trust you in everything. Help us to put you first in everything, in how we engage in everything that we do. And Lord, may the unbelieving world that is watching us, may they see in us something worth believing in because they see you in us. So Lord, show each one of us the role that we have to play towards that end. Lord, may you populate heaven because of what you're doing in the work in your people here on earth now. So help us to love like Jesus in all we do. Send us with your blessing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So church, thanks for joining us today. Check in with one another. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.